Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark in chapter 6. We read from chapter 5, but our focus this morning will be on Mark chapter 6 and the very last verse of the chapter. Mark chapter 6, verse 56. Mark chapter 6, verse 56, speaking of the Lord. And whithersoever he entered, to villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. As many as touched him were made whole. Subject this morning is the hem of his garment, hem of his garment, the border, as we read here in Mark chapter 6, but perhaps more commonly known or more popularly known as the hem of the garment of Christ. Well, this is a description of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, when we read these things of how the Lord had all the sick before him, and as many as touched him were made whole, well, we remind ourselves that these things that we read of are true. They are perfectly true. Many religions, many religious books are full of myths, but the Bible is not like that. The Bible is not a book that is full of myths. It is a history book. It teaches us about history, things which actually came to pass. And Christ is not a mythical figure, of course not. He is a historical figure. And indeed, well, I've said this many times before, the Lord Jesus Christ has had more influence on history than any other ruler, emperor, or king. Put together, if you want to understand anything about true history, you have to understand the Bible. You have to know the Bible. You have to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, because the Bible is history. The Bible is a historical book. And so we have to keep this in mind, even when we read of such things, the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is true. And all these things occurred in a true place, of course, in Judea. This specific place is a place called Gennesaret, and that's a true place, a tract of land that lay between Bethsaida and Capernaum, a fertile, well-watered land next to a great lake. So this is a true place. But something remarkable is happening in this historical land. The Lord Jesus Christ is there, verse 55, and ran through that whole region round about, or rather, verse 54, and when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. The Lord Jesus Christ comes to this region, and he is known. And well, they ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. So what's happening is, well, the Lord Jesus Christ has come into the region. And by this stage, the Lord has been ministering for quite a while. The Lord preached and taught for 3 years. And this is, we believe, the third year of his ministry. So he is very well known wherever he goes. And so when he comes to Gennesaret and the people see the Lord Jesus Christ there, well, they endeavor to bring all the sick to him because they know that he can heal. He has healed so many over the last 2 years of his ministry. And so they know what they must do. They bring all those who are diseased, all those who are lame and sick, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, that's a tremendous thing. You know, just to make an initial application, this is what we are to do even now. as Christian people. I don't mean to bring physically sick people to church and so on, but our duty as Christian people, those of us who know the Lord, who know that He can heal, well, it is our duty to go out into the community and bring people in, to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, just as these people did. They knew that Christ was in the region. We have to get everyone to come to Him. Well, the Lord, God Himself, has placed this church in this community. What are we to do? Are we to be selfish and not go out and just enjoy Christ for ourselves? No, we are to do what these people did. They went through the whole region and said, come, Christ can heal you. That is what we do when we go out to this community, when we endeavor to knock on doors and distribute literature. We go out and we're telling people, come and know the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and meet with Him. He will heal you. He will surely heal you. So we follow this same example. This is what they did in Judea, in Gennesaret, and this is a tremendous example to us. And that which we ought to be doing, what every church ought to be doing, bringing those who are sick, spiritually sick, to the Lord for tremendous healing. But, our focus this morning will be the hem of Christ's garment. This is what they were doing. The sick were brought, and so many of them, how were they healed? They just touched the hem of His garment. Now, what is the hem of a garment? Well, many of you will know this, but really it's the fringe of a garment. In those days, an outer garment was usually worn. I guess you could compare it to a modern coat or a cloak. They would wear an outer garment, and at the bottom of the garment, there was a border, there was a fringe, a hem, and that was what was worn. And in fact, the hem carried spiritual significance. In the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy, we learn that the Hebrews were given instruction to wear tassels on the hem of their garment, the hem of the outer garment. It was to be a constant reminder of the commandments of God. The Jews, of course, were different to any other nation. They were to submit to the law of God. And so that's why they were to wear these tassels on the hem of the outer garment, because it would distinguish them apart from the other nations. We are Jews. We live under the law of God. And this is how you can tell, or one of the ways. We have the hem of the garment, we have the tassels, and so on. We are subject to the law of God. And in New Testament times, the Pharisees would even make the hem of their garments larger and broader, because they wanted to make out they were more holier than everyone else. Look at our hems. They're much bigger than yours. And we'll mention that a little bit later. But the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ, all those who were brought to Him, they would touch the hem and they would be healed. Now, I want to just mention to you three things concerning this approach to the Lord, because it teaches us how we are to approach God and how we are to be healed. They came to touch the border of His garment. And the first point I want to say is that this was a focused approach. This was a focused approach. They were focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice that they came to touch the border of His garment. Just His garment, not the garments of anybody else, not the garments of the Pharisees, not even the garments of the apostles. They were focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the important one. It was the border of His garment that they wanted to touch. I remember going to a pop concert many years ago. I was unsaved, so don't worry. I was a teenager. In fact, it's almost 30 years ago now. I went to this concert at Wembley Stadium, a world-famous pop star. I won't mention the name. But, at one of the end of his dance routines, he threw his hat into the crowd. And everyone went absolutely mad for this hat. This hat, of course, it was just a normal hat. It wasn't a very beautiful hat. But the thing was, it was his hat. It was this pop star's hat. We have to have this garment, as it were. And everyone was going crazy and fights were breaking out in the crowd because it was his hat. That's what made it important. Not just that it was a hat, it was his. And so in a similar way, not exactly the same, of course, it was Christ that was important. Not just the garment, it was his garment. We have to touch the border of his garment if we are to be healed. And so this was a focused approach. The people were focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew that he was different to all the other religious men. He was different to the Pharisees. I mentioned earlier that the Pharisees would make the hem of their garment very wide to make themselves out to look more religious, more holy than they actually were. But that was an act of righteousness. It was a feigned righteousness, a fake righteousness. But there was nothing fake about the Lord Jesus Christ. The people knew that, and they wanted to see him. He was holy. He was the incarnate God. His deeds were so wonderful and so good and so kind and loving. His words were so true. There was no falsehood at all in any of his words. The people knew that he was the one who was holy, not the Pharisees. He was the one. We must touch the border of his garment. He is the one who is truly righteous, not the one who is simply pretending to be righteous. And well, we can make an application about the difference between true religion and false religion. False religion, well, there are many false religions in this world. False religion only gives an appearance of righteousness. The Pharisees, they just had an appearance of righteousness. They made themselves look righteous, but they weren't really. In their hearts, they were hypocrites. In their hearts, they were sinners. They were not perfectly righteous. And well, there are many religions like that, many religions that people ascribe to make them look righteous, but they're not really changed. Nothing in them is actually changed. And this is why people reject religion by and large. They don't want religion because they know that so many religious people, they are hypocrites. They go around looking good, but actually when you get to know them, they're sinners just like the rest of us. That's false religion, dear friends. But the Christian religion, well, what's different about the Christian faith to any other religion? Well, the Christian faith, dear friends, it gives us power. It gives us power to be righteous, to overcome our sins. This is what these people were receiving when they touched the hem of his garment. They received power. I have to touch the border of his garment, and then I will be healed. Then I will have strength. Then I will be blessed. And dear friends, that is what we do when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We touch him, as it were. We come to know him, and we are given great strength and power to overcome sins and wickedness. This is the great healing that we all need. Healing from sin. This is the great sickness in our lives at the present time. The great sickness in the world at this present time is not the coronavirus, it's sin. Sin is the cause of all strife and violence and tears and sorrow. Sin is the cause of all wars. It's not religion, it's sin. Man's jealousy, man's envy, man's aggression, man's cruelty. It's sin that causes all these things. Sin causes men to lie, to steal, to commit adultery. Sin causes people to make all the wrong decisions. Sin gives people so many regrets. They make great mistakes in their lives because of their selfishness, because of their pride. And, they never get over it. It ruins their whole lives. That's sin. Sin does that. Sin keeps people from doing the right thing. I've known some people, They wish they could be better people. They try and they try so hard to overcome bad habits, but they can't overcome them. Why? Because their sin is too powerful. And their sin will continue to ruin their lives. Dear friends, when we think of healing and the Christian faith, it's a healing from sin, because that is our greatest problem by far. And if only the world would understand this. Look how hard the world is trying to eradicate this virus. Look how many measures we've had to go through to try and get rid of something that, cannot really be gotten rid of. But if only the world would try just as hard to find a cure for sin. If only the world would seek Christ, then this world would truly be blessed. Sin is the greatest problem of each and every one of us, and it's only Christ who can heal us, as he healed these people in Gennesaret. But the second point I want to make is that this approach was a faithful approach. Touching the border of his garment was a faithful approach. Now, we read earlier in Mark chapter 5 about the woman with the issue of blood. And if you just turn to it with me, we don't normally do this in evangelistic messages, but if you turn just a couple of pages or so to Mark chapter 5, and remember this woman. And let's read from verse 25 to remind ourselves of this woman. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Well, we can't be entirely sure if it was the hem of the garment. We believe so. But she said in verse 28, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples, well, we read what they say in verse 31, but look at verse 33. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. But look at the Lord's words in verse 34. He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. This woman had faith. She knew that if she touched the border of his garment, she would be healed. No ifs, no maybes, no buts. She knew, have to touch the border of his garment and I will be healed. And this is what is so glorious about this account and at Mark chapter 6. You know, it's not so much the garment that is important, we've mentioned about Christ, but it's how we touch. We touch with faith. It's the touch of faith that heals. Do we have faith here, dear friends, this morning? What is faith? Let us consider that question just for a few moments. What is faith? Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, you don't need to turn to it. That's a whole chapter on faith. And in that chapter, we read in verse 6, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Faith knows that God is true and real. You know, some people will tell you, I will only believe in God if I see some great sign. If I see some great miracle, if I see some great wonder, some sign in the sky or some voice from heaven, then I will believe. That's what some people say. But dear friends, that's not faith. Faith does not need to see anything. Faith believes what God has said in his word. Faith already believes it. It doesn't need to see any great sign or wonder. That is what true faith is. God is already there. God is true and living. He doesn't have to prove himself to me. I know that he is. But faith is more than that. It's not just believing that God is real. It's believing that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what the verse says, that God is a rewarder. So many people do not think that God is a rewarder. So many people think that God is an oppressor, that if I come to God, he will oppress my life. He will make my life terrible. He will limit my life, take all the fun out of it. Dear friends, somebody who believes that, of course, has no faith. Faith believes that God is a rewarder. If I come to God, I will have tremendous blessing. My life will be completely changed for the better. The Lord will bless. The Lord will give me new life. The Lord will change me and lead me in my life. I will be led in the right way. Do men know the right way? Does the world know the right way of how to live and the right way to go? No. The Lord alone knows the right way, and he will lead us. God will give you opportunities to do things that you've never done before. God will give you spiritual life. You will be able to pray. You will have a hold on divine resources. You will see great answers to your prayers. You never had that before, but now you will. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You'll be part of a tremendous family. Do you understand that? There are many large families, even in this church, but you know what the largest family is on this planet? It's the household of faith. It's God's children. You have brothers and sisters in every nation in the world. Wherever you go, you will have people who love you because of your faith, not because you're related by blood. That's a limited family. The greater family is that household of faith. You will be blessed in so many ways. God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Somebody who has faith understands this. But dear friends, you have to diligently seek him. That is very true. Faith teaches us that if you go to the Lord, if you cry unto him, if you seek him earnestly, he will not turn you away. He doesn't turn anybody away. In this account, well, if you turn back to Mark chapter 6 and verse 56, notice who were healed here. They besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Every single one who touched the Lord Jesus Christ was made whole. Not a single person went away empty-handed or disappointed. Everyone. Dear friends, that is faith. I know so many people, they say to me, I would like to be a Christian, but will God hear me? After all I've done, after all the sins I've committed, will God hear me? Yes. That is faith. You go to him, he will hear you. When you go to him in faith, then you will be rewarded. Then you will be blessed. Perhaps you've gone to the Lord many times, but your prayer has lacked faith. You don't ever think that God will hear you. Dear friends, go to him with great faith, and he will bless and he will save you. But dear friends, I must move on. There's one more thing that I want to add to this approach. This is an approach of submission. The third point of application. It is a faithful approach. It is a focused approach, but it is also an approach of submission. If they were to touch the border of his garment, well, do you not think that they would have had to have stooped? That they would have had to have humbled themselves, bowed the knee, to stoop down to touch the hem of the garment? That's what they would have done. And they were prepared to do that because they knew that they would be healed. And dear friends, the application is simply this. We must be prepared to submit everything to the Lord. We have faith, yes, but there must also be repentance. There must also be surrender to the Lord our God. If we are to know true healing, we must give ourselves, not holding everything back, saying, I want God's salvation, but I want my own life as well. You'll never be healed that way. You have to submit. You have to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way that we can find true healing for our souls. We submit to his way, we cease going our way, and we follow his. And of course, we understand that we submit our lives, we surrender to God, because this is what Christ did for us. Christ, when he came down from heaven to earth, he submitted himself entirely to the will of God. And he went to the cross. He submitted to the Father's will to suffer that death for us. This was the Father's will, that Christ would go to the cross and he would take upon himself the punishment for our sins. Christ gave up his life. He laid down his life for us, so we must do the same. If we have faith in him, if we are followers of him, then we give everything. We submit. We bow the knee to Christ. This is the right approach to God. There are so many people, well, they come in the wrong way. They think they can have all the benefits, but none of the repentance. But dear friends, this is how we come, humbling ourselves. Is there anybody here who still refuses to do this? Refuses to come under the authority of Christ? We read in the scriptures that if we refuse to bow our knee now, well, we will have to at the very end of time. We read in the letter to the Philippians that at the name of Jesus, what will happen? Every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, every knee shall bow. When Christ returns. And well, it will be too late then to seek the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be too late. Christ will return for judgment. The first time he came, it was for healing. When God speaks to us now, it is for healing. But when Christ comes again, it will be for judgment. It will be too late to reach out to him or to touch the hem of his garment. And well, that will be a terrible, solemn time for all those who have rejected him. You must come now, dear friends. You must come and bow the knee. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and pray that prayer of faith and know that he will heal you when you come in this way. Well, this is the great application that we can see from this verse. Whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Every single one who came to him in that approach were made whole. Dear friends, our prayer, the prayer of all the members of this church, is that every single one of you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and that you be made whole. What a wonderful ending to that great chapter. We could have spent some time speaking about that, but you know, none of us are whole without Christ. Some people say, I don't feel whole without my husband. I don't feel whole without my wife. I don't feel whole without my children. I need to have them with me. Then I feel whole. But you know, none of us are whole without the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great emptiness in our lives without him. a great spiritual emptiness. So, dear friends, we must come if we are to be made whole, if we are to be truly healed of our sin sickness, come to the Lord in the way that we see here and reach out to him. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us. Let us turn in our hymn books to our final hymn this morning, hymn number 375. Hymn number 375. This will help us as we conclude our thinking. Hymn 375. Heal us, Emmanuel. We are here, waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair. And Saviour, we are such. Our faith is feeble, we confess. We faintly trust thy word. But wilt thou pity us the less? Be that far from thee, Lord. Remember him who once applied with trembling for relief. Lord, I believe, with tears he cried, O help my unbelief. She too, who touched thee in the press and healing virtue stole, was answered, daughter, go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Like her, with hopes and fears we come to touch thee, if we may. O, send us not despairing home. Send none unhealed away. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we re-echo the last words of that hymn. Send none unhealed away from our presence this morning. Oh, dear Lord, be pleased to come and work in us. Help us that we may know that healing touch in our souls. Help us to approach thee with faith, knowing that if we cry unto thee, thou shalt hear us. O Lord, bless us each one, we pray, that we may be indeed found to be that household of faith when Christ comes again, and we shall worship him, and we shall love him forevermore. We ask all these things in his name and for his sake. Amen.